my Bible. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book so I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 18. Continue to pray for our church members. Continue to invite people to come to church. Proverbs 18. Continue to tell people about Jesus. Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. And when you get there, say amen. Proverbs chapter 18. Are you there yet? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18. Y'all hearing the feedback? Or is it just me? Amen. Turn these down. Turn 13 down a little bit for me. Or 9, whichever number I am. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." Do you all see that? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Amen? As Christians, there's one thing that we can never forget. We can never forget that we serve or should be serving a God who created the heavens and the earth. Amen? And who has blessed us with a Savior who has a name that is above all names. That's just how good God is. Amen. A name above all names. And the question is, do we really know what that means? Okay. Do we really know what it means to have a name above all names? Because the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible says that he has a name above all names. So that means that any name that we can think of, Jesus Christ's name is above it. Are y'all still with me this morning? I'm talking about the name of sickness. I'm talking about the name of poverty. I'm talking about the name of being stressed out. The name of Jesus is above that name. I'm talking about the name of cancer. I'm talking about the name of oppression. I'm talking about the name of depression. The name of Jesus is above that name. I'm talking about the name of marital problems. I'm talking about the name of financial problems. I'm even talking about the name of children problems. The name of Jesus is above those names. Are y'all still with me this morning? I mean, do we really understand the magnification, if you will, of the name of Jesus? Notice what I didn't say. I didn't even say Jesus, okay? We know how powerful Jesus is. We know he's Lord. We know he's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning or the end, but I'm talking about the name of Jesus. Are you all still with me this morning? Just the mention of the name of Jesus is a name above all names. I'm talking about the name of stress and any other name that you can think of, the name of Jesus is above that name. Now, isn't that amazing? I mean, we serve a God who has blessed us with a Savior who have a name that is above all names. I'm talking about the name of sadness. I'm talking about the name of worry. I'm talking about the name of anxiety. Whatever name that we can think of, the name of Jesus is above that name. And the good thing about that is he is our Savior if you are a Christian. And if you are not one, you can be one today. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. Now, the name of Jesus makes things happen. When that name is spoken, there are things that change. Now, we may not see them change, but just the mention of his name, things change. First in the spiritual world, and then in the natural world. You might not see it. And the reason why things change is because there is power in the name of Jesus. And not only is there power in the name of Jesus, there is power that follows the name of Jesus. Just the name. Are y'all still with me? Don't you know, even when we mention the name of Jesus nonchalantly, just the mention of his name, things happen. What a mighty God we serve. Well, you say, Pastor, well, why are you telling me that? I mean, I know the name of Jesus is above all names. Well, the reason why I'm reminding us of this is because we have an adversary. And his name is Satan. And Satan hates God. And because we are children of God, he hates us. Pastor, me hate you? He hate me? Yes, he does. He hates you. And he causes havoc, or tries to cause havoc in your life any way possible. He attacks you because he does not like you. He attacks your family because he does not like you nor your family. And he attacks your possessions. Why? Because he don't want you to have anything. Are y'all still with me this morning? He don't want you to be happy. He don't want you to be in comfort. He don't want you to be at peace. He just wants you to be miserable and have all kind of troubles and struggles in your life. Are y'all still with me this morning? He attacked us to put us in a state of bondage in our mind. Because Satan knows that if he can get control of the mind, he can control you. He can control me. And he uses that to keep us down, to keep us in bondage. Are y'all still with me? And the problem is that many people who face situations and circumstances in their life that is not favorable to them, we try to figure it out. We try to figure out why me? Lord, what did I do to deserve this? Why is this happening to me? I bet the bond drawing is not happening to him. I used your name 2 times already this morning. Why am I going through this? It just seems like Christmas. I'm here to tell you, stop trying to figure it out, because you cannot figure it out. I cannot figure it out, because what we go through is in life is above reason. What I mean by that is what we deal with in life is above our reasoning, it's above our thoughts, and we cannot figure it out. Are y'all still with me? So stop wasting your time. Why am I going through this? Stop trying to figure it out yourself, because you can't. Are y'all still with me? Satan will want to remind you of your past, to make you feel guilty. He don't want you to go into the future. He tries to tell you that your life has ended. You're not going to get any better. Just attack, attack, attack. Why am I going through this? Yesterday was fine. The sun was shining on Saturday. All of a sudden, now it's cloudy in my life. Why am I going through this? Stop trying to figure it out, because you can't. And the reason why you cannot figure it out is because what I am dealing with is spiritual. As I've said many times before, we are engaged in a spiritual warfare. Yes, we see the attacks of it in the natural, in our life, but it starts in the spiritual. Are you all still with me? I want you to go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We cannot figure it out because of what we are engaged in. So stop trying to figure it out. Ephesians chapter 6. Are y'all still with me this morning? Many people are experiencing in life what Satan wants them to experience instead of what they should be experiencing. And they're depressed. They're oppressed. As I like to say, PQRSTUV, pressed. Sometimes they don't know whether they're going in or out. Left or right, it just seems like it's always, it doesn't seem like it's always something. I mean, when you get over one obstacle, here comes another one, if the one that's coming don't join the one that you already have. Are y'all still with me? We're talking spiritual warfare. And it's not your fault. It's not my fault, but we happen to be engaged in it. Why? Because Satan hates God, and because he hates God, he hates you, he hates me. Are y'all still with me? I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse number 12. Verse number 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, number one, principalities. Number two, powers. Number three, the rulers of the darkness of this world. And number four, spiritual wickedness in high places." Do you all see that? We are engaged in a spiritual warfare with some wicked forces. And how many of you know Satan will use those wicked forces to mess up your life? Why? Because he hates God, he hates you, he hates me, he hates your family, your possessions, whatever you have, Satan hates it. And he dispatches those demonic forces in your life to keep you in bondage, to keep you down. And guess what? He uses people to help him. And sometimes he uses Christians. Are y'all still with me? But the Bible tells us what the problem is. It said we are engaged in a spiritual warfare. We wrestle, not against flesh and blood. That word wrestle doesn't mean like the WWF or the WWE. You know how they jump off the top rope? That's not what he's talking about there. That word wrestle, there is a battle of position in your mind. Because once again, Satan knows if he can get in your mind, if he can bring something negative to your mind, it will affect your whole body. It will affect your life. All because it's pressing against your mind and you're worrying about it, you're depressed about it, you're oppressed about it, you're thinking about it. He knows if he can get it in there, he can control you. Are you all still with me? The Bible says, once again, they are in high places. They are so high that you and I, we cannot see them with the naked or the natural eye. They're high places. See, one thing we have to understand is that there is a difference between spirit and natural. See, in the natural, you can see the things that are happening to you in the natural with the natural eye. You all still with me? But you cannot see the things which are happening to you in the spiritual with the natural eye. That's why you can't figure it out. Because it's not natural. Well, Pastor, you're telling me I can't figure things out. You're telling me it's spiritual. And I can't see it. Because see, most of the things you can see, you can affect. Do you all know that? If you see a car coming, you can get out of it. And you're in the road, middle of the road, I need to get off the street. This car going to hit me if I stay in the street. So you can affect some things. But a lot of spiritual things you can't affect. Why? Because you're living in this natural world. Not you. Not by yourself. Because you can't see in the spiritual. Are you all still with me? But Pastor, what do I do about that? How do I get through it? The situation that I'm going through is getting the best of me. I'm trying to serve God. I'm trying to do the right Christian thing to do, but every time I try to do it, something happens to me. And I just don't understand what's going on. No, you don't understand it because it's spiritual. And that's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thy own understanding. Stop worrying about it. Why do we think the Bible tells us to cast all our cares on him? Because, listen, he understands what we're going through. Sometimes we don't. Man, I don't know how this happened. I was fine yesterday. Now all of that. Stop worrying about it. Stop being concerned about it. Stop trying to figure it out. Pastor, what do I do? Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 18. How can I deal with it? Proverbs 18. Amen, amen, amen. But you know, the answer to every question we have is in the Bible. I can tell you right now, this is part one. I will not finish this message today. There's no way. Are you back there yet? Look at what the Bible says in verse number 10 again. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a what? Strong tower. The righteous do what? Run it into it and is what? Safe. When I face these situations that I don't know what's going on in my life, when I face these situations that I can't understand, instead of me trying to figure them out and get more depressed because I can't figure it out, what I need to do is call on the name of Jesus. Listen, in many cases, all I need to do is just say the name of Jesus. Because when we speak the name of Jesus, things happen in the spirit world. Just the mention of the name. Because look at what the Bible tells us here. The Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Listen, the Bible calls the name a strong tower. Just the name. I mean, we know who Jesus is, but the Bible says the name of Jesus is a strong tower. That word strong means strength. The name of Jesus is a strength tower. Just the name. In other words, there's strength in the name of Jesus. Just the mention of that name. And see, a lot of people say, well, you know the name of Jesus, but they don't understand what they're saying. There's power in the name of Jesus. Everything that happens to us in the Christian world is happening because we pray to God in the name of Jesus. When you're going through the trials and tribulations, just say the name. Just call on the name. Why? Because there's power in the name. Are you all still with me? The name itself is a strong tower. It is so strong that there are no spiritual forces that can knock it down. I'm talking about the name. Just the name of Jesus. Are you all still with me? The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous do what? They run. Notice the Bible didn't say walk. It said the righteous run or should run to it. The righteous. Who are the righteous? You. Me. The Bible says when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we were declared righteous. In other words, justified. Just as if you never sinned before. Because why? The blood of Jesus washes the sin away. So the Bible says the name of Jesus is strength. We sing a song, your name is strength, your name is power. Oh, nobody like you, Lord. Y'all ever heard this song before? I know you didn't hear a song like that, but you know, amen, amen, amen. The name of Jesus is so strong that when you run to it, you will find safety. Doesn't matter what name is against you. Doesn't matter what other name is attacking you. Doesn't matter what the name is, when you run to Jesus, the name of Jesus, you are in safety. Are you all still with me? Because no other name can compare to the name of Jesus. No spiritual weapon can destroy it. You know, I'm reminded of when I used to be in the military, like some of you all, some of you may be still in there. And, you know, sometimes you go back and look at some of the wars, the military wars, W-A-R-I-S, and you'll find some of these countries that had these big towers, you know, fortification for protection. And when there's a battle, you know, you take in your artillery, you take in your Bradleys, you take in your tanks, you take in your howitzers. And it doesn't matter how powerful these fortresses are. It doesn't matter how high these towers are. When you start sending those rockets, those bombs, that ammunition at those towers, you know, you ride through the city when the war is over, you see those things laying all on the ground. Can anybody relate to me this morning? I mean, they took many, many years to build these things. To build these things, not to be able to withstand this and to be able to withstand that. But then when you go back through those little cities, I remember when I was in Iraq and you're just riding through the streets, you know, after the Gulf War, and just all these buildings just laying down on the floor, on the ground. But how many of you know there are no spiritual tanks? There is no spiritual howitzers. There are no spiritual weapons. There are no spiritual Bradleys, artillery that can knock down the strong tower of the name of Jesus. And when the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness come in your area, all you have to do is use your spiritual weapon. Just call the name of Jesus. Speak the name of Jesus over that situation, and your situation will change. Are y'all still with me this morning? Why? Because it is strong and it gives us strength. I'm talking about Jesus. And notice what the Bible says here. It says, if you're looking for a title for today's message, it's called The Strong Tower. Just The Strong Tower. Are y'all still with me? See. And look what the Bible says. It says the righteous runs to it. Do y'all see that? See, the Bible tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. Where walk means to live. But we don't walk to the name of Jesus. We run to it. We run to it. And see, a lot of people waste time. Instead of running to Jesus, the name, they're trying to figure it out. You know, you don't have time to try to figure it out. And the reason why we don't have time to try to figure it out is because we are involved in a race. It's a spiritual race. And Satan is trying to get to you before you get to the name. That's why the Bible says run to it. Because if you walk to it, you might not get there in time. If you say, well, I'll deal with it tomorrow, you might not get there in time. You have to run to it because the enemy is trying to destroy you before you can call on the name of Jesus. Why? Because people do not understand the power of the name. Just the name. I mean, people who are not even saved, sometimes they go through a situation and they holler, Jesus. And listen, it doesn't matter who speaks the name of Jesus. It's not the person that have the power, it's the name that have the power. And when the principalities and the power and the rulers hear the name of Jesus, it just reminds them of who beat them up on the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago. Are y'all still with me? You're in a race. That's why the Bible says, run to it. If you walk, you might not make it. Because Satan is trying to destroy you. He is trying to steal from you your possessions. He's trying to kill you spiritually and mentally before you can get
to Jesus. That's why we don't have time to waste. That's why we don't have time to try to figure it out. You can't. It's above our reasoning. It's above our imagination. There's another verse in the Bible, I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and take it into captivity every what? Thought. That's where it starts. To the what? Obedience of who? Christ. You have time to think about it. See, in Revelation chapter 12, I believe, the Bible talks about Jesus being the Alpha and the what? Omega. And the what? Beginning. And the end. The Alpha. The Omega. Revelation chapter 22. And how many of you know that that word Alpha means the what? The beginning. Omega means the end. And if you know anything about racing, and I know that you do, every race starts from the beginning. I mean, it's a start line that sets the beginning of the race. Are y'all still with me? That means that when I am engaged in a spiritual race, I need to start at the beginning. And the beginning is Jesus, because the Bible says he's the Alpha. Y'all still with me? So I need to start from with Jesus from the start. Because some people, when they race, they try to start in the middle. And how many of you know when you start in the middle, you never win? Why? Because you get disqualified. And a lot of Christians are being disqualified. In other words, when you get disqualified, that means you're lost. And a lot of people are losing in life. Why? Because they didn't start from the beginning. In other words, they're facing a situation in life, and they're trying to figure it out in their mind. Try to figure it out. And they end up losing because they didn't start at the beginning with Jesus. Are you all still with me? I was running this race one time, and I used to run distance. And this guy somehow... There were no one in front of me but one guy. He was about 5 years younger than I was. Amen. And all of a sudden, as we were running this eight-mile run, I believe it was nine. I don't remember. And this guy, he just shows up. We get close to the finish line. And all of a sudden, he just shows up in front of me. I'm like, where did this guy come from? I mean, I didn't see him. But he told me, he said, you know what? My race don't count. He said, I didn't start from the beginning. I just got in the middle of the race and started running. I said, oh, okay. In other words, he was running for, listen to this, misery, because I knew he was tired. And a lot of Christians run for misery. Why? Because they don't start with Jesus. Are y'all still with me? Not only is Jesus the beginning, he's also the what? End. In other words, the finish, I like to say. Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. So the race starts with Jesus, and the race ends with Jesus. So if I want to win the race, I have to end it with Jesus. I can't quit in the middle of the race. See, Satan wants you to give up. He wants that situation to be weighing on you so heavily that you want to give up. You can't give up. Because, see, there's a saying that says, winners never quit, and quitters never win. Are y'all still with me this morning? So if I want to win in this spiritual race that I find myself engaged in, I must start with Jesus and I have to end with Jesus, because if not, I will not win. Are y'all still with me? Well, Pastor, how do I run the race then? How do I run to Jesus? Well, I've already told you. Let's call his name over that situation. Just say the name of Jesus. Pastor, is this that simple? Yes, it is. Well, how could it be that simple? Because there is power in the name of Jesus. Just the name. I mean, the name. You know, we read that in the scripture, we just go right over. It's power in the name of Jesus. See, we sometimes we don't know deep stuff when we see it. You know how Christians are. I want to get that deep. Deep goes to deep. Don't you know when you understand how powerful the name of Jesus is? I mean, when you truly understand it, you've crossed the deep. You don't get no deeper than that. When you really grasp that revelation, you don't get no deeper than that. Because you know that every situation, everything that you go through in life, you will know that, hey, this thing, yeah, I have a headache. I just don't want to get up in the morning. But if you just call the name of Jesus, it will make you feel better. Try it sometime. Just his name. Just call him the name. Because the Bible says there's power. Oh, Pastor says that's too simple. God never meant for things to be complicated for us. I mean, why would he send Jesus to save us and then make the test hard? Well, it's going to be hard. I'm going to make sure they got to study. No. God wants us to win. That's why I told you last week, people misinterpret the scripture when the Bible says, the eyes have not seen and the ears have not heard what God has in store for those who love him. And we try to make it a mystery. Well, the Lord works in mysterious ways. He don't work in no mysterious ways. There's nothing in the Bible that says he works in mysterious ways. God works according to his word. Because the Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. Then if you continue to read the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, he says, but God has revealed them to us by the what? By the Spirit. I mentioned it last week. For the Spirit searches the deep things of God. So if I want to get deep in God, I need to get connected to the Holy Spirit. I need to spend some time with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a he. It's not a it. It's a he. The third person of the Trinity. He. He deserves the same respect as God the Father, God and God the Son. A lot of times we talk about Jesus and God the Father, but we leave out the Holy Spirit. I read a book one time that said the Holy Spirit is the missing ingredient. The missing ingredient for a lot of Christians, the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, he brings a package. Not only do he lead you and guide you into all truth, he also teaches us and leads us in prayer. And listen, even when we don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit will give us some words to speak in tongues so that they can't even know what we're praying for. People go to prayer, they want to just sit here. And Father, in Jesus, down to lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord, my son, down to lay me down to sleep. Is that all you can say? When Pastor and I have a hard time praying, then pray the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. Receive the baptism and learn how to speak in tongues. That way you can't mess it up. See? We leave him out. Can't leave him out of the equation. Because Jesus sent him back to lead us and guide us into all what? Truth. And the truth is this. It doesn't matter what Satan attack you with. It doesn't matter what name he used to get you distracted. None of those names can compare to the name of Jesus. Are y'all still with me this morning? So I run to him by calling his name, by saying his name. Because, listen to this, the name of Jesus is so powerful. We saw in Philippians chapter 2 last week, I believe, the Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus. Now, listen to that. I mean you have to really dissect that. It says, at the name of Jesus, they will say that Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is who? Lord. And we have already seen that the name of the Lord is a what? Strong tower. At the name, Notice it did not say, well, Moses is going to tell them that Jesus Christ is Lord. King David is going to tell them that Jesus is Lord. Well, you know, somebody else might tell. No, it said, at the name of Jesus. Christians, I'm here to tell you, if you can get this revelation today, your life will never, ever be the same. Just to understand how powerful just the name is. I mean, he deserved that because the Bible says that he humbled himself. He had no reputation. He came in as a form of a servant, and God exalted him with a name that's above all names. The name of sadness. The name of problems in my life. The name of trouble in my life. I remember a song years ago would say, trouble, I'm so glad trouble don't last always. Why? Because trouble cannot stand up against the name of Jesus. Are y'all getting this morning? Instead of people trying to figure it out, instead of people having headaches because I don't know what's happening to me, I know what's happening to you. You are engaged in a spiritual warfare. And the bad thing about it is that it is not even your battle. Well, where am I in it? Because of Adam and Eve. Well, how can I get through it? Call the name of Jesus. Because Jesus came to fix what Adam and Eve messed up. Are you all still with me? People do not understand the power behind the name. Go to John chapter 14. Are y'all still with me this morning? John 14. John 14. All you got to do is just call the name. Just say the name. Good God Almighty. Amen, amen. I was excited to get here to teach this message this morning. This thing came to me. I was like, oh, man, let me sit there and get this thing together. Just the name. The name. Are you all still with me? In chapter 14, this is the time when Jesus was getting ready to leave, and he told them, do not let your heart be troubled. In my house, there's many mansions. Are you all still with me? He's talking to the disciples. I want you to go to verse number 12. He told the disciples, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you. Are you all there yet? He said, he that believeth on me, he that believeth on me, that's the key right there. He that believeth on me. How many of you all believe on Jesus? I'm glad everybody raised their hand. Good, that's what I thought. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do because I go unto my Father. And then he says in verse 13, and whatsoever you ask, what? In my name. Listen, don't you know that when you ask in Jesus' name, you are speaking his name? Have you ever thought about that? Asking Jesus, when you say in Jesus' name, you are releasing power. Why? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. He said, whatsoever you ask in my name. Uh-oh, that means we need to pray sometime, don't it? He said, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He said, if you ask me for something, doesn't matter what it is, Chris. He said, if you ask me for something, I will do it. And the reason why I will do it is so God can get the glory. In other words, Jesus says, when I do it, God gets the glory because I did it for you. But wait a minute. Not only can God get the glory for what Jesus did, don't you know God can get glory for what you do? Don't you know God can be glorified by your actions? You know, the Bible tells us that in John chapter 15, remember we were talking about the fruit? Matter of fact, you and John, go to John 15, verse 8. Just one page. Oh, I think it's the same area. You can get glorified through you. Do you see it? He said, talk about the fruit, the branch, the vine, all those things we talked about already. He says in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified. That what? You. Put your name there where it says you. That you bear much fruit. He said, God get glorified through you. Well, let me show you. Let me give you an example of how God get glorified through you. Let's say, for instance, you're going through a situation in your life. And people, they know you are a Christian. And they see that you are going through. And they, because people watch you. It's like you watch other people, they watch you too. Never forget that. When they try to look you up and down, when you're looking them up and down, they may have already looked you up and down. Always remember that. Always remember that. When they judge you, judging them, they probably already judge you. I'm just this lightweight life is. Are y'all still with me? So you're a Christian. You're always talking about Jesus, what he's done for you. And then one day you happen to get attacked from one of the principalities. And, you know, because we live in this world, you know, we're going to go through our ups and downs. But when we go down, we just got to get back up. Are y'all still with me? I mean, let's be real. We're not robots. We're going to face things in this lifetime. Why? Because we live in this corrupt world. But God still reigns what? Forever. And Jesus still sitting on the right-hand side of the Father. But let's say you're going through something. And you've talked all this smack about what Jesus can do. And they're watching you. And they say, I know. There's no way they're gonna be get. There's no way Tyrone gonna be able to get through this one. He got through some other things, but there's no way. But what they do not realize is that Tyrone spends time in the presence of the Lord. And Tyrone understands the power in the name of Jesus. So when they're not at his house or around him 24 hours a day, they don't realize that he's a praying man. See, like I said, sometimes people judge you by what they see, but they don't know what you do when they're not around. And all of a sudden, Tyrone get delivered. They be like, wait a minute, man, there's no way he should have got all of that. How did he get all of that? Because of the power behind the name of Jesus. So now that they see that Tyrone got delivered, man, Tyrone, you're a Christian, aren't you? Yes, I am. Well, all because they see that he's different now. They start asking questions. What must I do to be saved? What has just happened? God just got the glory through him. God got the glory through him. See if Satan had known, if Satan had known that Jesus Christ came to die for the sins of the world, he would have tried to keep him alive forever. See, God knows all things. Satan don't know all things. He knows a lot, but he don't know all things. See, God said, I can't tell you all my secrets. Y'all still with me? When people see God blessing you, they want some of it too. That's how God gets the glory through you. So Jesus said, ask me, I'll do it so God can be glorified. And then he said once again in verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I want you to go to John chapter 16. John 16. Talking about the name of Jesus. The power behind that name. Look at John chapter 16. I want you to look at verse number 23. Jesus still talking to the disciples about leaving. Okay? Look at what he told them in verse number 16. Verse number 23. Are you all there yet? He says, and in that day, you shall ask me nothing. In that day, you shall ask me nothing. Now notice Jesus had not left yet. He has not been crucified. So I believe, you know, the disciples had a lot of questions for him as they walked on the earth. Are y'all still with me? But Jesus said, once I'm gone, he said, you will ask me nothing. Y'all see that? He said, we're not careful. We walk right over this series of scripture. He said, you should ask me nothing. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask who? The Father, what? In my name, he will give it to you. Who's doing the giving? The Father. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Who's doing the giving? But the Father is giving by what? Asking in whose name? Notice I can't go to God and say, Father, in the name of Ron. No. Because there's no power behind my name. So your name could be Jonathan, Betty, or Suzanne. There's no power behind your name. That's nobody's name in here. Christians kind of sensitive sometimes. Amen. There's power by the name of Jesus. He says, don't ask me nothing. He said, hey, look, I can't do it. But if you ask in my name, I will do it for you. Now, let's stay with me. Stay with me. He will give it to you. If you ask in my name, my Father will give it to you. And look at this, verse 24. It says, from now on, or hitherto, as King James says, have you asked nothing in my name? He said, now, up to this point, you haven't asked nothing in my name. I mean, you've asked me for something, but you haven't asked in my name. Are y'all still with me? He said, you haven't asked me for anything. Oh, you haven't asked anything in my name. And then he says, ask and you shall receive that your what? Joy may be what? Full. Well, wait a minute. Let's take, you know, I love to dissect the word of God. Apparently their joy wasn't full. Because the Bible says sorrow had filled their hearts because Jesus was leaving. Regardless of what the reason why sorrow had filled your heart, the opposite of sorrow is joy. Are y'all still with me? Joy, joy, joy. Amen. And the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your what? The joy of the Lord. So once again, he says, ask you shall receive that your joy may be filled. Ask how? Who? In Jesus' name. So that means when I'm going through some sadness, when I'm a little oppressed, when I'm a little depressed, all I need to ask God for joy in the name of Jesus. And what happened? Joy comes. Because when joy comes, sadness have to go. Because joy and sadness can't stay in the same place. Are you all still with me? Amen. Still dissecting here. He said, these things, verse number 25, he said, these things have I spoken to you in Proverbs. He said, but in other words, I'm giving you a little bit of the time. That's what he's telling me. He said, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly how God operates, oh, the Father. Do y'all see that? Good God Almighty, amen. In other words, Jesus said, listen, I'm not God. I'm Jesus, but I'm going to show you how God operates. You got to catch this. He says, and I say not, verse 26, at that day you shall ask in my name. Y'all see that? And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. Now I saw something in that verse last night that I have never seen before. And if you're not careful, you will jump right over it. He said, at that day, you shall ask in my name. I didn't say unto you that I will pray the Father for you. He said, you ask in my name. He said, for the Father himself loved you because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Now let me explain it to you. Good God. Remember when I got this revelation last night, man, I said, God, you are awesome. Listen to this. Jesus said, at that day, once I'm gone, you shall ask in my name. He said, I didn't say that I will pray to the Father for you. Let me explain that to you. Let's say, for instance, Elder Perlow, since I already messed with Elder Bondra, Elder Perlow. I said, Elder Perlow, you know, I know this guy, and he's got a lot of things, you know, something that he wants, you know. Man, he said, man, you know, he'll give it to you. He's a good friend of mine. And Elder Perlow said, well, Pastor Ron, or Ron, you know, amen, can you just ask him for me? Can you ask him for me? I said, no, I'm only asking for you. When you go see him, just tell him that I sent you. I mean, just by you mentioning my name, he'll give it to you. Did y'all see that? I mean, I don't have to ask God, can you please bless him? No. He said, I don't have to do it. You ask him. But when you ask him, just mention my name. Good God Almighty. Just tell him that I sent you. Good God Almighty. I mean, we're talking about how powerful the name of Jesus is. Jesus, I'm not going to tell him. You just ask him in my name. So-and-so, well, you know, I would like to have that. Ron told me to, you know, Ron? Oh, Ron sent you? Oh, man, how much do you want? Some of y'all been in that situation before. Or you're somebody trying to get a job. Yeah, I apply for this job. Oh, where? You mean you apply for the job at so-and-so place? Uh-huh. Well, when you go in there, tell them that you know me. And guess what? Many times you get favored. Why? Because the person that's hiring you knows somebody that you know. Y'all know how it goes. No, that's not cheating. That's favor. That's favor. You know, people, you say, well, it's all about who you know. Well, guess what? Get to know somebody. Because God created us to fellowship. Just because you want to stay home and locked up in the house all the time, it's not nobody's fault but you. Get to know somebody. Jesus said, ask in my name and he will give it to you. Why? Because there is power in the name of Jesus. Are y'all still with me this morning? This is a great amen. I love this teaching. Amen, amen, amen. I got about 7 minutes to go. The name of Jesus. Jesus said, once again, ask in my name, and he will give it to you. And he said he will give it to you. Verse 17, he says, for the Father himself love you. And the reason why the Father loved you, he says, because you have loved me. Let's say Elder Perlow don't like me. And I say, Elder Perlow, can you ask them, can I have, oh, yeah, I'll ask him for you, Pastor Ron. Yeah, Pastor Ron want me to ask you, but don't give him nothing. He don't like me. Don't give him nothing. Give it to somebody else. Give it to somebody else. Give it to Early. She, you know, me and her get along great. Give it to her. Don't even give it to Byron. I don't like him either. Give it to Early. Are y'all still with me? Jesus said, because you love me, he loved you. And have believed that I came, because you love me and have believed that I came from God. Good. That's power in the name of Jesus. Are y'all still with me? Why? Because once again, God exalted him to have a name above all name. See, Byron heard me talking about him. Now he came into the church. Amen. He's our security guard. He's our security guard, man. Amen, amen, amen. See, I mentioned to you earlier, I'm getting ready to close. I got about 5 minutes. I mentioned to you earlier that Satan sends the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and the spiritual wickedness in high places, spiritual warfare, to attack you, to attack your family, to attack your possessions, to try to destroy you. Are y'all still with me? See? And see, the problem is that because they are spiritual forces, you can't see them in the natural. You can't see them. But how many of you know that although we cannot see them, Jesus can see them? See? And Jesus beat them up on the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago. But see, the reason why they continue to attack us is because they do not want us to know that they have already been defeated. That's why we have to spend time in the Word. Because the Word of God tells us that all the principalities and the powers have been defeated. So they continue to attack us because they know that we don't have knowledge of that. You know, we know we've said many times before the focus of this ministry is Hosea 4:6, where the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. See. It reminds me of the day that you all may be familiar with, Juneteenth. You know what Juneteenth is? You know, it's when slavery was over, but the people down in part of Texas, they didn't know it. But they didn't have the cell phones back in those days. Or the internet or Facebook. Or Twitter or whatever else they got out there. So it took a long time for the message to get to them. Well, in the spiritual world, because we don't study our word, the word of God like we should, a lot of things we don't know. And because we don't know these things, say no that we don't know. So they try to attack us, to destroy us, because they say they're not going to do anything about it because they don't study the word of God. But the word of God tells us that all his principalities and the powers, all those people have already been disarmed and defeated. And see, what happens is that when we call the name of Jesus, it's almost like, you know, they're attacking you, trying to destroy you. But when you say Jesus, all they remember is that he beat them up. So I'd be like, Give me about three people up here, right quick. Give me three people. Amen. Amen. Got the Harley family. Okay. Amen. Okay. Mom, I want you to just call Jesus. So we're gonna run. I want you to call Jesus tonight. Okay. Give me one more person. Hey, I'm almost done. Stay with me. I'm almost done. Amen. So let's say mom here is under attack by the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this place, and the spiritual wickedness in high places. Matter of fact, let me get her here. I'm in a high place. So because they don't think that she have knowledge of who defeated them on the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago. Are y'all still with me? Amen. So, you know, who are causing problems in her life? Trying to take her possessions, attacking her family. Jesus, so all she's going to do is call the name of Jesus. Go ahead.
Jesus,
say it
loud. Jesus,
so,
Jesus.
No, wait. Just say it one time.
Jesus.
So she'll, what? Jesus. The principalities and the powers, they run away from you. And they go around seeking whom else they can devour. Come on, give her a hand, praise. Thank you, Mom. They don't want no part of Jesus. They run from you and they go seeking who else they can devour. Why? Because they realize there's power in the name of Jesus. And when they hear that name, it reminds them that Jesus defeated them on the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago. I'm going to show you the scripture next week. I'm not going to show it to you today because my time is up. Part two next week. You don't want to miss it. Stand to your feet and give God a hand praise because he's worthy.